In your Bible, please, Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Hebrews, chapter 11. It opens defining faith. Faith is now being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. And then the chapter unfolds, as we have seen, with the documentation of faith, biblically based faith. It begins with the faith of Abel. He demonstrated his faith in the way he worshipped. Enoch. His faith documented in the way he demonstrated his faith, the way he walked. Noah. His faith documented, he demonstrated his faith in the way he worked, building the ark to the salvation of his family. Condemnation also of the world. Abraham, his faith documented. He demonstrated his faith the way he went. He waited for the fulfillment of the promise that God had made to him. We have seen the faith of the people from the loins of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we are brought to, in the 11th chapter, the faith of Moses and his faith being demonstrated in the wanderings of the nation that came forth from the loins of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then, as we have seen, the faith of those individuals in the 11th verse, their faith documented as they demonstrated their faith in their warfare. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, the warfare against the Midianites and his victory. Barak, and his warfare with the Canaanites and his victory. Samson, his warfare with the Philistines and his victory. Jephthah, his warfare with the Ammonites, his victory. David, his warfare with the Philistines and his victories. Samuel, his warfare with the Ammonites and his victories. The victories that were because those whom God raised up in this warfare believed God. They placed their faith in the assurance that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of promise, the one who said, I have a special place that I have prepared for you. You are a unique people unto myself. You are going to prosper. And I am going to protect you and empower you to be a people that will bring praise to my name. And that is why we have looked at the faith of David and that defining moment that really defined the rest of his being the chosen one of the Lord to be king over Israel. That defining moment when he stood his ground against Goliath and the Philistine armies. And declared that the battle was the Lord's. And he went forth in the power of the God of promise, the God of protection, and the God through whose power he would prevail. And we have looked from that moment that really defined David's whole life to the warfare that we, as children of God, are engaged in. We are engaged in a warfare that is spiritual, not physical. And we have looked at Ephesians chapter 6. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. The battle is the Lord. How do we engage in this spiritual warfare? We suit up. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand. We suit up with the panoply, the full provision that God has provided for us to be victors, to win the warfare, to stand against the evil one, recognizing that our warfare is a spiritual one, and that we are engaged in every day of our lives, that armament is to be put on once for all. It is the armament that we have seen begins with a belt that holds it all together. Gird up your loins with truth. The revealed truth concerning the character and conduct of God revealed in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Who He is and what He has done. That holds everything together. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. And we saw that that is our positional righteousness. Just as the soldier engaged in battle would go forth with a protective covering across his chest, it would not only be a protection, it would be a pronouncement as to who he belonged to. When the Roman soldier went forth in battle, he was adorned with a breastplate that identified him as a soldier of Rome. We have positional righteousness. We are the children of God. The Lord has given to us the righteousness that is in Christ Jesus. And when we engage the enemy in this combat that is ever so personal, it's a wrestling match, we do so in a way in which he immediately can identify that we belong to the true and the living God. We know his schemes and his devices. He sows seeds of doubt. He denies the truth. He distorts the truth. He displaces the truth with the lie, and we engage him in this combat prepared by having truth, that which God has revealed concerning himself and what he has done in his Son, the Lord Jesus. We engage him in the righteousness that is ours in Christ Jesus. But not only does he see that righteousness in Christ in our position, but we are to practice that righteousness. Our warfare provides the ability to live right against all that is evil. The breastplate of righteousness. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Our footing is secure. We are able to stand firm. We are able to engage the enemy because our foundation is that which brought peace between us and God. Where there was hostility, where we were not only estranged from Him, but in our sin, enemies, but no longer. Now, peace with Him because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We engage the enemy with our feet shod. We are grounded in the gospel. And this morning, Paul says in that sixth chapter of Ephesians, in the midst of this warfare, additional to everything that I've already declared to be true of what God has provided, in addition, in the midst of this warfare, the shield of faith. Why? So that we can wield off, so that we can extinguish the fiery darts, arrows of the evil one. He never quits. He's always firing seeds of doubt, seeds of denial, seeds of distortion, seeds of displacement of truth. You can't trust God. I have something better for you. This world. And so, in Ephesians chapter 6, we are told to take up the shield of faith. Come on over to 1 Peter chapter 5. The fiery darts are always coming at us. That is why Peter says in chapter 5, verse 8, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. Because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering as a child of God. Whether we are a child of God in this nation that we are privileged to live in, or in Bangladesh, China, Soviet Russia, it doesn't matter. The warfare is the same. The strategies are the same, and we are able to fend off all these attacks by the shield of faith. Stand in the faith. Come on over to Genesis chapter 15. We have said that what those Old Testament saints have done that is recorded for us in 11th chapter of Hebrews allows us to have our faith in the same God of those who have gone before. Abraham in chapter 15, verse 1. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. In chapter 12, and that is a pivotal chapter in the Scriptures. Prior to God selecting out Abraham, He dealt with the peoples on this earth. But He now uniquely will draw out a people, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and put this people on display for the purpose of allowing the world, the nations, to see there is a God who has revealed Himself as a God in whom you can trust. Abram, I make this promise. A place, a unique people that will prosper, whom I will protect, and whom I will empower. Abraham has just had a victory. He has delivered Lot from a consortium of kings. He now is realizing that there's a possibility of retaliation. And in that posture of having just experienced victory from the Lord's hand, the Lord reassures him. He reassures him of his personal presence to protect and to empower. I am your shield and your very great reward. Come on over to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Deuteronomy chapter 33. Deuteronomy 33. I'm reading from verse 29. Moses now has just reminded the individual tribes of this unique people that God has called unto himself, Israel, of the blessings that God has given to each one of the tribes. And then he concludes by saying, and Israel as a whole, my people, here is what you can be assured of. Blessed are you, verse 29, O Israel, who is like you? A people saved, delivered by the Lord. He is your shield and helper and your glorious sword. Your enemies will cower before you and you will trample down their high places. Here in this one verse, we have those three elements of the panoply of God, the helmet of salvation. You have been delivered. I have saved you. You have experienced my being your shield, the one that has protected you, and your sword, the one in whom you can go forth and conquer. Your shield and helper. Psalm 3, come on over to David's Psalms. We have been using David's faith to take us through the other aspects of warfare that we experience. Chapter 3, O Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. Does that sound familiar? That's the deceiver, right? That's the lie. You can't trust God. That began in the garden. His schemes, his devices haven't changed. God's not going to deliver you. Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. But you are a shield around me. You protect me from that. As the fiery dart comes, the arrow from Satan himself, I'm able to fend it off. I'm able to quench its effectiveness. But you are a shield around me, O Lord, my glorious one, who lifts up my head. To the Lord I cry aloud, and he answers me from his holy hill. I have faith, the shield around me. is my faith in your faithfulness. Psalm 5. Reading verse 7. But I, by your great mercy, will come into your house. In reverence will I bow down toward your holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make straight your way before me. Not a word from their mouth can be trusted. Their heart is filled with destruction. Their throat is an open grave, and with their tongue they speak deceit. Declare them guilty, O God. Does that remind you of any verses in the Scripture? Romans chapter 3? The Jew and the Gentile, all alike guilty before God. Why? Because of the way they behave. They are under the wicked one. They speak deceit. Declare them guilty, O God. Let their intrigues be their downfall. Banish them for their many sins, for they have rebelled against you. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. For surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. That word favor is the word we have in our New Testament, in our English language, translated grace. Unmerited favor, remember, the favor of God. On over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Very familiar. David now is crying out to the Lord. The fiery arrows, darts of the devil are being flung at him. But the shield of faith is there to deflect, to quench the effectiveness of the devil's denial of truth, distorting of truth, and displacement of truth with the lie. In chapter 12, verse 17, and verse 7, I'm sorry, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassing great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. We don't know what that actual affirmity was, except that he recognized, Paul recognized that this was part of the sovereign plan of God for his life. This messenger of Satan to torment. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my favor, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul says, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then am I strong. David's defining moment. The battle is the Lord's. Our spiritual warfare. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Why? We have no strength to win the spiritual warfare in ourselves. And we must come to that awareness that it is either all of God or there's no hope. And He has promised the sufficiency of His grace. It's His provision of protection as we undergo the struggles of life. In 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going over to 1 Peter. Verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth. He's begot us again into a living hope. How? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And to an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. Through faith, you are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Our eternal destiny is secure because we have the shield of faith. We rest in what God has provided for us to have a personal relationship with Him forever. And as we are going through this life with that assurance that there is that relationship with Him that we will experience forever, we are presently protected, shielded until that reality. And we are shielded by God's power. Well, back to the Psalms of David, Psalm 28. Psalm 28. Reading from verse 6. Praise be to the Lord, for He has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him, and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy, and I will give thanks to Him in song. The Lord is the strength of His people, a fortress of salvation for His anointed one. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. As the saints before Him, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, so David looked in faith to the one who would ultimately be the shepherd. He would provide the redemption necessary. I am the good shepherd, I give my life for the sheep. The one that David wrote about when he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Look at Psalm 32. Again at verse 6, therefore let everyone who is godly pray to you while you are may be found. Surely when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you, says the Lord, and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Do not be like the horse or mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in Him. Rejoice in the Lord, and be glad. You righteous, sing, all you who are upright in heart. Look at Psalm 33, verse 20. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In Him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in Him, in His holy name. May Your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in You. Look at Proverbs. Proverbs 30. Reading verse 5. Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. We're engaged in a spiritual warfare. But we have a provision. It is the panoply of God. And in the midst of this spiritual warfare, one of those things which He has provided is the shield of faith. In order that as the evil one besets us with all kinds of fiery darts, seeds of doubt. Distorting of truth. Displacement of truth with the lie. You can't trust God. How do they manifest themselves? We know His schemes. We know His devices. His purpose? He wants to deliver what He alone can deliver. Doom. Devastation. Destruction. Death. He attacks. He attacks the mind. He attacks the emotions. He attacks on a spiritual level. And He is delivering those darts for the purpose of destroying us. We have the shield of faith. That's why Paul, in Philippians chapter 4, familiar verses, I'm sure, to you. At verse 4, says, rejoice in the Lord. How? Often? Always. I don't feel like it. Of course you don't. That's one of the devil's darts. It attacks your emotions, how you're feeling. I don't think like I want to do that. Of course not. Rather have a pity party. Rather allow yourself to be defeated. That's what the devil delivers. We have the shield of faith. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. You need this reinforcement. Rejoice. Let your spirit be evident, your gentle spirit be evident to all. The Lord is near. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts, your emotions, and your minds, your thinking in Christ Jesus. That's the shield of faith. He wants us to doubt that what is happening in our lives right here and now is not part of the sovereign plan of God. You know why? He wants us to take control. Take control. That's how he started the whole thing in heaven and on earth here in the garden. Hath God said? Can you really trust him? Let me tell you. You see, if you do what you see, that tree of the knowledge of good and evil looks like it can provide, go for it. Because you will know the difference between good and evil. You'll be experiencing that which he's holding out from you. Which you can take, which he hasn't given. Doubt leads to depression. Leads to defeat. It leads to a life that is no longer victorious. It's one of doom. It's one of spiritual death. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be evident. The presence of Christ in you. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. But you don't. Anything. But you. Anything. But in everything. By prayer and supplication. More intense prayer. With thanksgiving. Gratitude. Present your request to God. And he's a God, as he always has been, who is personal, he's present, and he's a God who fulfills his promise. You can trust me. And he's a God who protects us and empowers us. Jesus is about to leave this earth. John chapter 14. He's about to go back to the Father. The disciples are anxious. See, what they had hoped for, they haven't seen realized. We had hoped that you were the promised one. But it don't look good. In fact, he's been telling them, I have to go to Jerusalem and there to be lifted up. I'm going to die. But that's not the end. I'm going to be raised from the dead. Verse 25, John 14. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Paraclete, the Counselor, the one called alongside as a comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Spiritual warfare. We're suited up with the armor of God, with the belt of truth holding it all together. Well, I've told you who I am and what I have come to do is going to be realized. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. devil knows how to discourage. He knows how to bring depression, defeat. Chapter 16. As our Lord continues to speak with his disciples about what will take place in his absence. Verse 33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. We're in a wicked world under the control of the wicked one. And he is constantly firing his darts at us. Be afraid, because he's deadly. No. Peace. I've provided what you need. Faith in me. The shield. To fend off all of his devices. Chapter 17. He's now praying to the Father in behalf of those whom he is leaving behind as far as his physical presence. But he has promised his spirit to be within us, never to leave us, forever. Verse 13, I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. Months and months and months ago, and I don't entitle messages, but the emphasis of a study that we had was joy in the jungle. We're living in the jungle. And there's all kinds of ravenous, destructive beings out there to get us. They're all the devices of the devil. That my joy within you. I have given them your word. And the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am in the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but you protect them from the evil one. How does that happen? Paul has told us. We're engaged in a spiritual warfare. Satan's strategies, we know. Sow seeds of doubt. Denies the truth that God has revealed in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Distorts that truth. There's an eclectic way to come to God, not an exclusive way. Try your best. Whatever religion you're in, practice it. It'll all work out. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me. The devil will attack your mind. He will attack your emotions. But no matter what he throws at us, we have the shield of faith to quench, put out all of those attacks, all of those fiery darts. And it is faith. Not abstract. The faith in the personal presence of the God of promise protection and power as he has perfectly revealed himself in the promised one, the Messiah, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will give you peace. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the victory that is already ours, secure in Christ. But for the struggle, the spiritual warfare that we are engaged in. For we know that there is a purpose. The trials and testings, the attractiveness of this world, the onslaughts of the evil one are providing the means under the sovereign plan of God of refining our faith. Presented ultimately perfect, not by us, but by the one in whom our faith rests, even Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we give praise and thanksgiving, now and forever. Amen.